Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Stan Gibson on behalf of the appellant, Metal Jeans. The District Court's summary judgment on unclean hands should be reversed for three independent reasons. First, the District Court did not articulate any standard that it was using to analyze the conduct at issue here. Clear and convincing evidence is required, and the District Court never stated that it was using clear and convincing evidence, and that by itself should require a reversal so the District Court can analyze this case under the proper standard. Second, the District Court failed to consider the conduct of Metal Sports itself in terms of unclean hands, and in fact construed facts against Metal Jeans when on summary judgment it should have construed those facts in favor of Metal Jeans, and this also should require reversal. Finally, the third and independent reason for reversal is that the District Court relied upon disparate and unrelated items of conduct that, by clear and convincing evidence, do not show unclean hands. And for that third reason, the District Court should also be reversed. Turning to the first issue, it is very clear that under the Ninth Circuit's law that a determination of unclean hands requires clear and convincing evidence. It's also clear here that the District Court never articulated any standard that it was using for its review of the facts at issue here. The Ninth Circuit has said on several occasions that the failure to articulate a standard of review is grounds for reversal. And here, we're left to guess at what standard of review was used. Metal Sport has argued that you can infer that clear and convincing evidence was used, but there's no way to do that under the record here. There's the cases the District Court cited don't articulate clear and convincing evidence. The District Court never explained that it was using clear and convincing evidence. And that's all the more problematic in a situation such as this, where there's very factually intensive issues. There's a necessary finding of bad intent and deception of the public. And none of that was done by clear and convincing evidence. So for that reason alone, the District Court should be reversed and the case should be remanded for the District Court to analyze the facts under the appropriate standard. The second issue that, counsel, in our view,
if we were to send this back, this is an equitable, this unclean hands defense is an equitable issue. So the District Court, if we sent this back, the District Court would be deciding the facts, presumably, right? Because it wouldn't be summary judgment. It'd be moving beyond summary judgment. But it'd be the same district court judge, not a jury or other fact finder, deciding the facts. Is that right?
Well, that could be, Your Honor. This is a summary judgment motion that it was heard at. The district court could decide to have a trial on the issues that it found were in dispute, such as the issues of likelihood of confusion. So there were cross motions for summary judgment. The district court could turn all of these issues over to a jury.
Does the district court need to do that? I mean, let's say assuming that the district court is going to send them for facts and just have these issues decided as a matter of fact, it doesn't have to be a jury, right? Because this is a equitable issue. Equitable issues, even if there's a factual determination to be made, it can be the judge that does it, right?
That's correct, Your Honor. The judge would ultimately make the determination of whether it was unclean hands, but it should do so reviewing the facts and not on summary judgment. The facts here really require a district court to have a trial on the issues, hear testimony, resolve issues of credibility at that time. What the district court did here was resolve those types of issues on summary judgment. So there's an inference that there was bad faith, but we don't know what the district court would have decided had there been a trial on the merits on the unclean hands issue. So yes, Your Honor is correct that the district court would make the ultimate decision on unclean hands, but it shouldn't do so where it's drawing the inferences against Metal Jeans on summary judgment. Now, the second reason that the district court should be reversed, in our view, is that Metal Sport itself acted with unclean hands. And this issue was raised in the district court's opinion, and we believe in that situation, the district court sort of gave it the back of its hand by saying that this was just a business judgment of Metal Sport, and that's not an issue to determine on unclean hands. Well, on summary judgment, again, the facts should have been construed in favor of Metal Jeans. And the facts here were that Metal Sport told the trademark office, in order to get its registration, that it was removing certain goods, the issue, the goods that are specifically at issue in the trademark lawsuit, the jeans, the shirts, etc., from his trademark registration, because the trademark office thought there could be indeed likelihood of confusion between Metal Jeans mark and Metal Sports mark. So having made that representation, what happens is that Metal Sports continues not only to sell the articles, it sells the articles with the metal logo it has, and Metal Sport puts the registration mark, telling the world and certainly the people and the public of the United States that it has a registration for those particular goods, when it explicitly told the trademark office that it wasn't going to use the registered mark for those goods. So that deception to the trademark office and to the public is Metal Sport's own unclean hands, which, when the facts are taken in support of Metal Jeans, as they should have been on summary judgment, should at least create a tribal issue of fact that would require a trial. And then the district court can have that trial and can determine which way this goes and whether or not Metal Sport can even use the defense of unclean hands, because it also is well established that you can't use the defense of unclean hands if you yourself have unclean hands. And here we established that Metal Sport itself came into the court with unclean hands. The way it used the mark, the very mark at issue that was the subject of the case, was to put the registration symbol with it and notify the public on its website and notify competitors that it had, in fact, a mark, a registered mark for jeans and shirts, when it told the trademark office that it wasn't seeking such a mark. And in fact, when the trademark office gave it its registration for powerlifting apparel, it restricted it and deleted those items. So we believe that that shows that there was unclean hands on behalf of Metal Sport, and it shouldn't be allowed to take advantage of the use of the defense of unclean hands in that situation.
So that's Counsel, did you move for summary judgment on that on your side, or are you just saying, are you asking us to say that should mean that knocks out your unclean hands? Or are you saying that we should rule in your favor on that, or that we should send it back for the judge to have a trial on it?
The latter, Your Honor. We're saying that the case should be remanded. We did not appeal the denial of the summary judgment on likelihood of confusion, where the district court found there were issues of fact. We only appealed the district court's decision that unclean hands barred all of Metal Jeans' claims from going forward. So in the situation where we have Metal Sport acting with unclean hands, or at least there's a dispute issue of fact to that, we're not asking the court to determine whether Metal Sport is barred from raising unclean hands. We're saying that the district court the case should be remanded for the district court to make that determination in the first instance. So that's the second reason that we believe that the matter should be sent back and remanded to the district court. The third reason is that the district court relied on different parts of conduct that we believe do not show bad intent and also are not directly related to the case. So there's instances where the district court looked at conduct of Topolesky America, which is not the plaintiff here, in terms of the cancellation of its mark. We don't think that that pertains to Metal Jeans. The Metal Jeans mark itself was obtained through the trademark office, and the conduct that all pertains to Topolesky America should not have been considered in terms of looking at the fact that you have to have the conduct directly related to the mark at issue in this case. So there's not evidence that is directly related to the mark at issue in this case. Even if you look at the specific stuff with respect to Metal Jeans, with Metal Jeans, there's a description of the product as being a premium denim brand. Well, the premium denim brand was a number of reasons why the applicant argued that it was distinct from the Under Armour brand in order to get the trademark, and it's not clear whether that had any impact. In fact, I think in taking the inferences again on summary judgment in favor of Metal Jeans, the trademark office did not restrict the registration that Metal Jeans obtained to premium denim. So it's likely, if you take the inferences in favor of Metal Jeans, the trademark office did not even consider that statement. So it's not directly related to the market issue here and the continuance of the case on against Metal Sport. In addition, the other piece of evidence that they looked at was the American worn, American made evidence that Metal Jeans had purportedly said and used, where the evidence that Metal Sport put forward was from a different case related to boots primarily, and was something that wasn't even part of the Metal Jeans mark in this situation. So, and there's no indication that just because a couple of the different goods weren't made in America, where that interrogatory response makes clear that everything else was, there was some sort of bad intent or deception that counsel, was going on.
Counsel, I'm waiting for a break and you're speaking and you don't stop at all, but I'll interrupt here. So under Carpet Steamers, when we said that the court was required to state the clear and convincing standard, it was because there the ambiguity in the record led us to conclude that the district court had in fact applied the wrong standard. What can you point to show that the district court here applied the wrong standard?
Well, I think it's the same evidence, Your Honor, that I've been going through. It's these disparate pieces of conduct, or the American made, American worn, or the website information that it said Metal Jeans Inc. owned the trademark when it was Topolowski America. Well, but Metal Jeans was the DBA at that point in time. There's no deception there. There's no evidence of any deception to consumers or to the public. No harm to Metal Sport was shown. They have
but
no
you're
actual
not
harm.
Arguing, you're not saying that it's not, that he didn't use clear and convincing evidence. You're saying there's no evidence at all.
Well, there's not sufficient evidence for clear and convincing evidence, but I think that, going to Your Honor's question, the court looks like it applied a preponderance of the evidence standard. When it puts together all these disparate pieces of evidence, it's doing so on a preponderance of the evidence standard. It's not articulating it.
What can you point to that it's using preponderance and not clear and convincing?
Well,
the clear and convincing standard was cited to it. It cited all the right cases, and it didn't. There's nothing that shows that it was applying a lesser burden.
Well, we have to make an assumption as to what burden the court was applying, because we can't tell from what the court did. It doesn't cite any cases supplying the clear and convincing evidence standard. The appellee cited cases, Metal Sport did, but the district court did not cite those cases in its ruling. So we're left to infer what the standard is, and based on the review of the record, it appears as if the preponderance of the evidence was standard was applied, because the district court is piecing together all these different pieces of conduct. And with that, Your Honor, I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time, if I may.
All right. Mr. Marcus?
Good afternoon, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Yuval Marcus on behalf of Appellee Metal Sport. The district court's decision should be affirmed because it acted within its discretion in determining, based on the undisputed facts of the record, that there was clear and convincing evidence of appellant Metal Jeans' unclean hands. The district court relied on multiple bases for its determination that the application of unclean hands was warranted. For example, the court relied on the inequitable conduct before the United States Patent and Trademark Office in connection with the metal trademark that is at issue in this case, and including the determination that by the USPTO's Trademark Trial and Appeal Board, that Metal Jeans' principal committed fraud by either knowingly or with reckless disregard for the truth, making false statements to the USPTO in connection with the trademark registration for the metal mark.
Now, so let's start with that one, because I think you earlier said that you relied on in this undisputed facts, but the issue has to be whether or not what the reason for those statements were, that, you know, the leaving out the 5 years, I think it was for shoes or something like that, or boots, or maybe that they hadn't sold boots for 5 years. But it seems to me like you could draw several inferences from that. One, you could draw that they were blatantly trying to lie, I guess. But the other, and as they point out in the briefing, you could draw other inferences from that. You could draw that they thought that, I think it was Montgomery Ward's if those, I don't think they're around anymore, but the Montgomery Wards was actually selling their boots, but they weren't selling their boots or something like that, right? I mean, it seems to me like that's actually an example of what the judge did a lot here, which is the judge took some facts that could go one way. And after like a trial, you can conclude that, but they didn't necessarily. It seems like he took facts and held them against the non-moving party. It's not disputed, I guess the point. It seems to me that these are not undisputed facts. The implications of the facts aren't undisputed.
Well, Your Honor, it's undisputed that the TTAB, the United States Patent and Trademark Office, an administrative tribunal, made a determination that the statement submitted by Mr. Topolowski was made either with knowledge that it was false or with reckless disregard as to whether it was true. That's a judicial determination by an administrative body. I don't think that's disputed that happened.
Right.
So they speculate in their papers that maybe it was with innocent intent, but that there was an administrative tribunal that made a determination that it was not inadvertent, it wasn't a mistake. It was made knowingly and with reckless disregard for the truth, and it constituted fraud sufficient to invalidate the trademark registration. They canceled their trademark registration based on fraud. So I don't think there's any inferences that are being made there. That's an undisputed fact that the trademark registration for the metal mark, by the same principle that is the principle of the plaintiff in this case, was canceled due to fraudulent statements made by Mr. Topolowski. So I don't think there's any inference that needed to be drawn by the district court. It was an undisputed fact that determination had been made by the United States Patent and Trademark Office's Trademark and Trial Appeal Board.
Of course, it is a different company, correct? Like, that was actually a different company it's the same principle, but a different company.
Correct. It was a different company, but the current plaintiff in this case needs to rely upon the trademark rights of that prior company in order to establish priority in this case. The trademark in this case, our client's use began in 1997. The metal jeans company, which is the plaintiff in this case, was an exclusive licensee of Topolowski America from the time that it was formed in 1997 until 2009, when it filed its trademark application. During that period of time, any use of the trademark by metal jeans inures to the benefit of Topolowski America as the owner of the trademark. And therefore, in order for the plaintiff in this case to establish priority going back before 1997, it needs to rely on the rights of Topolowski America, which is the same entity that committed the fraud.
Was that the basis for the district court's decision? Because I saw that argument in your briefs, but it seems to me like, you know, you are saying that you made that argument, but I don't recall that was the argument that the district court relied on in concluding that this particular defendant had unclean hands, or this particular plaintiff, I guess.
Yes, Your Honor. In fact, the district court said that the trademark application was born of Mr. Topolowski's fraud. Those words are used by the district court in the decision. It was very cognizant and relied on the fact that Mr. Topolowski and the record here is very, very clear that there are a persistent pattern of false statements made by Mr. Topolowski, where he has made false statements to the United States Patent and Trademark Office when he was the owner of the registration that was canceled, when he was the principal of Topolowski America, and that he made false statements to the United States Patent and Trademark Office in connection with the application that became the registration that's at issue in this case. But in any event, the fraud...
What are the other false statements, counsel? What are some more of those?
So he submitted... So what happened was the registration was canceled in January of 2009, and then about 10 days later, Metal Jeans, which at the time was the exclusive licensee of Topolowski America... There's no evidence in the record, and there's disputed statements as to whether or not Mr. Topolowski assigned any rights in the trademark to Metal Jeans. He claimed at his deposition that he did, but in interrogatory responses claims that they Metal Jeans acquired its rights in the mark by filing the application. So he contradicts himself. It's not someone else claiming that there was a contradiction. But then he also stated a date of first use.
But he's not a lawyer. No, I understand there's some contradictions. But the judge here, the district court judge, took all of those contradictions as being falsehoods, And that's what I think is, so the example you just gave, I mean, it also could just be that he doesn't understand how all of this stuff works, which would be fairly normal for a non-lawyer, especially a non-trademark lawyer.
Your Honor, he took a position in this in the litigation where he verified interrogatories, where he said that this is how we acquired the rights to this trademark. And then at his deposition, he said, oh, no, I assigned it. I was the principal of both Top Whiskey America and of Metal Jeans in 2009, and I assigned it to myself. There's no written record of an assignment. There's no evidence of any, there's no written record
right,
of a license.
So he may have been incorrect when he actually said he assigned it. But again, he's not a lawyer. He may have thought that, you know, that's basically how we did it, but that's not how we did it. So he may have been incorrect in what he said, but it's different saying that what he said was incorrect as opposed to the fact that he's committing fraud or lying.
The point, Your Honor, is that he has had a reckless disregard for making truthful statements to the United States Patent and Trademark Office. In that application that he filed in 2009, he stated that the first use of the mark metal was in 1990. But in interrogatory responses 2 years earlier, he said the first date of use was in 1998, 8 years later. There's a persistent pattern of him making statements that are contradictory in filings before the USPTO. And in when it was actually adjudicated before the United States Patent and Trademark Office, they determined that he committed fraud.
So then you're talking about the first thing you mentioned.
Yes.
Then there's a different company. I get that. I think that's probably your strongest argument. So, but I think it'd have to be more than that.
Your Honor, I don't think you need more than that, frankly. But I think there is more than that here.
I think all of the other stuff that I looked at, and it seemed to me like there's definitely inconsistencies. I mean, you get the impression that you've got a fairly unsophisticated party. And he's not a lawyer, and they're saying, like on the denim thing, he says, well, we're not a denim brand, because they're not just a denim brand. Neither is Lucky Jeans only do denim, but you would say that Lucky Jeans is like a premium denim brand, right? So in some sense, both statements are true, but they could also be taken as inconsistent. That seems to me the kind of thing that you would not draw an inference against them on.
Your Honor, there is such a persistent pattern here of inconsistent statements and false statements that no juror could reasonably conclude that he was not either having a reckless disregard for the truth or knowingly making false statements, both to the PTO and to the public. Your Honor, may I move on?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I wanted to address a couple of things. One is the standard of review. This is an equitable defense of unclean hands. Typically, while summary judgment motions are reviewed de novo, the equitable defense of unclean hands should be reviewed for abuse of discretion. In the reply brief, appellant argues that there's no authority for that proposition, but this court just 3 weeks ago in a decision certified nutraceuticals versus Avicenna Nutraceutical 18-56631 affirmed a grant of summary judgment on unclean hands and stated that the application of unclean hands is reviewed for abuse of discretion. And similarly, in this court's decision in Pinkett Clothing, they also was reviewed for abuse of discretion. So I think the appropriate standard is abuse of discretion with respect to the unclean hands defense. With respect to the clear and convincing standard, they argue that there's a per se rule that if the standard of proof is not recited in the district court's decision, that's reversible error. That's simply not the law. They cite to a bunch of cases for that proposition, but those cases stand for the proposition that if they don't articulate the correct legal elements of the case, and you can determine and you can't determine what the basis for the district court's decision was, then that can be reversible error. Here, there's also a case that decided by this court in 2008, where on this exact fact pattern, there was no error. I'll cite to the case. It's U.S. versus Garcia Renteria, 298 F Appendix 552. And the court said there's no error even when the district court did not identify the standard of proof that it's applying when it's evident from the lower court's decision that the correct standard was applied. So if the court can determine from reading the decision that the correct standard was applied, that's not a reversible error. In addition, I want to address the alleged improprieties by Metal Sport. First thing I want to raise is the fact that this argument that the R in the circle, the registered trademark symbol, it was put on clothing and that somehow is deceptive to the public, that argument was completely waived. It was never raised before in any of the papers. The appellant is trying to conflate two arguments and sort of horseshoe that argument into the other argument, which was barely raised, but perhaps enough to not be waived.
Didn't the district court address this argument?
No, this argument was never made. It was not in the briefs. The argument, let me be clear, there are two arguments here, Your Honor. One is that by deleting goods from the trademark application, a false statement was made to the PTO. That's argument number one. Argument number two is by using the registered R symbol on the clothing, that is a misrepresentation to the public. That argument about the registered R symbol appearing on the clothing was never raised below. It is raised for the first time on appeal and is absolutely waived. The argument that the goods, that there was a representation, a false representation to the PTO with respect to the deletion of the goods is also false. It's incorrect. The context is that Metal Sport was using the mark since 1997. In 2012, it applied for federal registration of and had been using it on clothing. And what happened was the trademark office refused registration based on Metal Jeans registration. But in the response to the office action, in a section entitled "The Goods Are Different as Amended," and this is in the record at ER 364. It says the newly amended goods are squat suits, bench suits, deadlift suits, lifting shoes, and lifting socks. And then it says the following statements, and these are the statements that they rely upon that claim are a false representation to the PTO. As amended, applicants' goods cover apparel and footwear that is clearly athletic in nature. In fact, the items offered by applicant are quite specific to a certain specialized fitness activity, specifically weightlifting. Both those sentences are referring to the amended goods. There's no reference whatsoever to the goods that were deleted from the application. Since there was no representation about use of mark on connection with the clothing products, there can't be a false representation. And so this whole argument is just a red herring. If there are any questions on that, I'd be happy to answer them. So I think that in conclusion, so I'm running out of time here, I think there is ample evidence in the record that the district court applied the correct standard in finding that there was unmistakable evidence of unclean hands. And contrary to the claims here, there's no requirement of an intent to deceive. It's an equitable theory. And the theory is that if they acted in bad faith and fraud on the PTO certainly would qualify as bad faith. That is sufficient to sustain the remedy of unclean hands, and the court's decision below should be affirmed. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Marcus. Mr. Gibson, I believe you had some time left.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think the issue here is that there are inconsistent statements in the record, and that on summary judgment, those inconsistencies shouldn't be resolved in favor of the moving party. They should have been resolved in favor of Metal Jeans, the non-moving party. And unfortunately, the district court resolved those inconsistencies in a way that all went in favor of Metal Sport, the moving party, not in favor of Metal Jeans, the non-moving party. And that's how the decision came about.
Counsel, what about his specific, what your opposing counsel was talking about, the specific fraud on the PTO argument that ended up losing the predecessor that had the mark, had them lose their trademark?
Well, the PTO finds that there's either fraud or reckless disregard, and it's based on the use of the mark not being made on boots for a five-year period of time. And I think the district court has to look at that, and you're going to hear testimony about that, not just look at the record and resolve and say that Topolowski must have been trying to do something wrong. It would be easy for an unsophisticated person who's not a trademark lawyer to not realize he should have deleted boots. And not said there's a number of items of clothing here that are being used in which the mark was still being used on. And in this situation, just didn't happen that they sold boots in that 5-year period. But that's hardly enough to say that you should have unclean hands for a different company in that situation. So again, if these issues had been resolved in favor of the non-moving party Metal Jeans, the court would have found there were dispute issues of fact and not reached a summary judgment, which we submit should be reversed, Your Honors. And unless there's anything further, I will submit.
All right. Thank you very much, Counsel. Metal Jeans versus Metal Sport is submitted. And thank this session of the court is adjourned for today. Thank you very much, Counsel.
Thank you, Your Honors.